We're going to jump over to our next caller. We've got, I believe it's Jeannie calling in next. And Jeannie, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you. You are the most kind and considerate host on radio, so I do want to tell you that.
Oh, well, thank you. Your check will be in the mail. So,
but I do have to disagree with you on eternal security. Oh, you know,
all right. Well, let's take a look at it.
Once in grace, always. Yeah, and what I wanted to say is there's a scripture in the Bible, and I don't happen to be at home right now, so I don't have my Bible. There's a scripture that says, if the righteous scarcely make it in, where does this find or leave the ungodly and the sinner?
Well, so did you catch what you just said, though?
If the righteous scarcely make it in, but they make it in. If the righteous scarcely make it in, where does this find the ungodly and the sinner? And that's two different things, ungodly and sinner. That's two statements there. But I wanted to say that, too, that, you know, if a prostitute and a serial killer, a child rapist and a drug pusher, if they got saved 2 years ago and then they suddenly get tempted, and that's the whole thing, that Satan is the tempter, and they get tempted and they go back into the sin that they were in. You mean to tell me this serial killer, if he keeps killing and the prostitute keeps prostituting, and the woman keeps having abortions, and the drug pusher keeps pushing drugs, the child molester keeps molesting children, these people, if they die, they're going to be in heaven?
All right, let's look at a Bible verse, Revelation chapter 21, verse number 8, that goes along with what you're saying. But the fearful and the unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Okay, so if God looks at somebody and he sees that they're a murderer, can they get into heaven?
Well, no.
Right. I agree. You're absolutely correct.
They never lose their salvation.
Yeah, well let's hold on a second here. Let's hold on a second here. Just look at this for just a second. How many people do you have to murder in order to be a murderer?
Just one. But
exactly.
If you murdered somebody, you would be a murderer. I said, if you murder and you ask for forgiveness of your sin, God forgives you. But if you go back into that again, you're committing sin and you're murdering more.
I
can't imagine heaven being filled with all these people that
See, you're demonstrating actually a fundamental misunderstanding of salvation. And I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying there's a misunderstanding here. We're talking about sins and talking about prostitutes and murderers, serial killers and stuff like that. These are degrees of sin, but in that same list, it says, and all liars. How many lies do you have to make in order to be a liar?
The sin is sin.
Yes, exactly. That's my point. You only have to commit one sin. You only have to commit one sin to be a sinner. And God cannot allow any sinner into heaven, right?
Well, if you're a sinner, then you're committing sin. Is that correct?
How many sins you have to commit to be a sinner? Just one sin.
Okay,
right?
If you're committing a sin, say if you're prostituting or if you're
killing people,
then you're sinning.
If you lie, you're sinning. If you tell a lie,
you're sinning. Backbiting or any of that, you're sinning. Yeah. Exactly.
So let me ask you this. When you got saved, how many of your sins did God forgive you of?
He forgave all of them.
Exactly.
But
that's my point.
I had to turn away from them, right?
When you got saved, did you turn from your sin when you got saved?
Yes, absolutely.
Did you accept Christ's forgiveness for your sin when you got saved?
Yes, I did.
Did he forgive you of all your sin when you got saved?
All of the sins that I had committed. How can you repent of sin?
No.
Yes.
That's not the case. He forgave you of all of your sin. All of it, past, present, and future. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, or let me back up even further. When Jesus died on the cross, how many sins had you committed?
When he died on the cross?
Yeah, when Jesus was hanging on the cross paying for sin, how many sins had you personally committed? None.
No, I hadn't even been born, right.
So every sin that Jesus died on the cross to pay for was a future sin. See, this is the key. When I got saved, I did not name every sin that I ever committed. I didn't know all the sins I committed in my life when I got saved. But what I said to the Lord is, I am a sinner. I do deserve the wages of sin, which is death. I deserve hell because I'm a sinner. And that's where sinners deserve to go.
Yes.
And I confessed that I was a sinner. And I also said, Lord, I cannot change myself. I need you to change me. Now, when I trusted Christ as my Savior, He forgave me of all of my sin. All of my sin was paid for at the cross.
You said an important word right then. You said change. And yes, we're supposed to change.
Yeah, we allow God to change us.
Can enter, sin cannot enter heaven.
Well, how many sins does it take to lose your salvation then?
Well, if we deliberately sin...
No, how many sins, not deliberate or not deliberate, how many sins does it take to become a sinner? Just one. I would submit to you that if you're correct... No, yeah, it doesn't hear me out here, man. I would submit to you that if you're correct in what you're saying, all you have to do is do one sin, and you would lose your salvation. One sin makes you a sinner. Either God paid for all of your sins, or He didn't. He either paid for all of your sins, or only part of your sins. It's not a bunch of sins that makes you a sinner. It's only one sin. And that's what I'm... That's what I'm trying to get at.
We even commit our sin. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, when Jesus died on the cross, you hadn't committed a single sin from your perspective. But see, you're limiting God. Does God know the future?
Okay, but do you
know? Does He know the future? God knows the future. When Jesus hung on the cross, He knew that a young boy would be born by the name of Alfred Davis. That's me. And He knew that Alfred Davis would grow up and do certain sinful things. And He knew that at the age of 9, Alfred Davis would trust Christ as his Savior. And He also knew that Alfred Davis would go on to do other sins in his life. Everything that I do in my life, God knew was going to happen. Now, He didn't make me do those things. It's because He's outside of time. And so when Jesus died on the cross, He paid for every sin that I will ever commit.
Why do we have to repent? Why do we have to ask for forgiveness if they're already paid?
Because when I sin as a believer, when I sin as a believer, my fellowship with God is broken, not my relationship. Let me ask you this. If you had a child and that child left you and said, I want nothing more to do with you ever again, are you still that child's mother? Absolutely.
Well, of course.
The relationship cannot be broken, but your fellowship is gone. I heard somebody say one time, when your fellowship's gone, the relationship is gone. Well, there must have been defining terms differently than I do, because if I left my parents and said, I want never to see you again, then I would still be their son. The relationship can't be severed, but I would have no fellowship.
Can you answer that question about the prostitutes and the serial killers? And
yes, my response is, a Christian that sins after they get saved, their sin is under the blood, it is forgiven, but if they can continue in sin, whatever that sin is, and Paul said in Romans 7 that he sinned, and our fellowship suffers. We're not going to be able to serve God, and eventually God might call us home early. He tells us that in Hebrews chapter 13, I believe it is. And I apologize, we're running out of time here, and we're almost done with the program. I only got about a minute left. But what I'm getting at is, God forgave us of all of our sin. We entered into a relationship with Him. We became His children. We will never cease to become His children. If sin could sever that relationship, then it would only be one sin, because sin makes us a sinner. And it's only through Christ, when He put His, Romans chapter 3, He put His righteousness on us. So when God looks at us, we're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He now sees the righteousness of Christ. our sin is covered because we're in this body of death, as Paul described it, that has a sin nature, and we're not going to be delivered from it until we arrive in heaven and we receive that new body, or we're shed of this old body with its sin nature. And I wish we could have come to a better agreement on the subject, but we're out of time. Sorry to our caller we didn't get. Thanks for listening tonight. God bless. Have a great week.